Echo and Harper Audio present A Living Remedy, a memoir by Nicole Chung. Read by Jennifer Kim. For my parents. I don't know if I'll ever go home again. I don't know who I've seen for the last time. Safia El Hilo, for my friends in reply to a question. What it must be like to be an angel or a squirrel, we can imagine sooner. William Meredith, parents. Because even grief provides a living remedy. Marie Howe, for 3 days. 1. I can picture her, one pale freckled cheek resting on the yellow floral patterned pillowcase next to mine. Warm brown eyes half-lidded with sleep as she listened to me talk. She was often tired in those days. After walking in the door, she would greet me, drop her purse on a chair, and then go lie down for a while before dinner. Sometimes I'd follow her down the brown carpeted hallway to my parents' room, the second door on the right, directly across from mine, and chatter at her from the doorway or my dad's side of the bed. She would respond now and then, ask me the occasional question. If she fell asleep, I'd tiptoe away. When I was little, we would sit side by side on her bed while she told me stories about her girlhood, taught me my prayers, got me started on early cross-stitch and crochet projects, read me stories she loved, A Little Princess, Anne of Green Gables, Pride and Prejudice. By the time I was a senior in high school, I was mostly just looking to talk, to tell her about my day, the tests I had coming up, the school musical I wanted to try out for, plans my friends and I had made for the weekend. I probably should have known to leave her in peace. She wasn't in good health then, which I did not fully understand. No matter how exhausted she was, she never sent me away. I wonder if she ever thought about how soon I'd be leaving as the two of us lay on the squeaky old mattress, late afternoon sunlight filtering through the sheer brown curtains above us. I wonder if that's why she always let me gab when she got home from work. Why she didn't tell me to go away and let her rest. Soon we'd no longer be sharing a roof, and she wouldn't hear much about my individual days. Only the sum total of whatever I could remember after a full week of classes and papers and books and dining hall meals. On a Sunday afternoon phone call made with one of dozens of calling cards she mailed to me. We would still belong to each other, but we would come to know one another differently in separation, in parting after parting. I didn't know what it would mean to leave, wouldn't begin to grasp it until my last night in my little blue childhood bedroom, a few months later, when I found I couldn't sleep for terror and wonder. I had spent most of my life in a small house in a small town, a Korean adoptee who knew I was loved, but often felt as though I were living a life meant for someone else. Though dreams of escape had long held me in thrall, I missed my parents when I spent any considerable length of time away from them, and my mom was the person I most wanted to talk to at the end of the day. I'm sure plenty of people who knew me were surprised that such a homebody only child had set her sights on a life 3,000 miles away. It would be years before I would understand that she was the one, all along, who had been preparing me to go, who wanted me to have the choice. I think of those late afternoon talks with her now that I have my own children, knowing that the days of both of them falling asleep in their rooms down the hall from mine are dwindling, that a time will come when something trivial or life-changing will happen to them. They will be hurt or caught by surprise
Sample complete. Ready to continue?